It's been 80 years since we last recorded, but we're back.
I was there 3,000 years ago.
It was a long time. A lot's happened in the video game world. We got busy, and some of us forgot about when we were recording, and others of us were just busy, and it happens. But now we're here. I think we're going to get back on track with this. That's my plan.
Not next week.
Yeah, not next.
We're back on track for 1 week.
Unless you guys want to record again, like a weekend night or maybe Sunday evening.
Yeah, it's okay with me.
Yeah, me
but
too.
But I'm going to be driving back from camping.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty flush, so. So that's where I stay. But we should get down to it because we're recording at our not normal time.
Yes.
So.
You know, it's late for you guys. I'd be in bed right now if it were 9 o'clock.
I'm working on it. All right. I'm trying to get there.
I'm an oldie.
Damn.
So. We have some news to get through. We have some San Diego Comic-Con talk.
There's the yawning.
The yawn. You know it was coming. We got Jason's comic rack we're going to dig into. And we got some reviews, too. Which is it's always a fun time. So.
Tis.
I guess, but let's get into it. Let's get into it with The Sandman coming to Netflix. So. The Sandman, if anybody's not isn't aware, is a Neil Gaiman headed comic from DC.
I thought it was Gaiman.
I don't know.
Okay.
You
whatever.
Right. I don't know. But whatever. Anyway, he wrote things like American Gods and Good Omens, which has got a great adaption. Amazon? Was it Amazon or Hulu?
Oh, I don't know. Amazon? I heard it was good.
Stars.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I think that's American Gods.
I think what you just said?
Oh,
Good Omens.
Oh, Good Omens. Yeah, that's on Amazon.
Okay.
Anyway, Sandman is a comic book series. I don't know if it was a novel, too, but I think it's just a comic book. Graphic novel thing.
Yes.
Anyway. They're making an official Netflix show. So, there it is.
Yep. There's no info about this. At least not really. There's like nothing. There's nothing. They just have announced that they're doing it. That's it.
There it is.
But you know what's interesting? There is something interesting for people who I'm sure everyone who's interested in this property probably knew this already, but I'm not interested in this property, so I didn't know this. But Neil Gaiman's, or Gaiman's, or however you say his name, his version of Sandman was commissioned as a riff on the Golden Age superhero Sandman, which was a part of the Justice Society comics. And I had no idea about that because it is completely 150% different from that character.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Like the superhero from the Golden Age was just a superhero. And Gaiman's Sandman is like the god of dreams. So it's like really, it's some wild differences. But yeah. I should also point out that this was a big part of Vertigo back in the 90s. And Vertigo, of course, has departed us on this mortal coil. In the last couple of weeks. We didn't talk about it, but that's it for Vertigo. So it's kind of a little bit sad if you care about that.
Yeah, sure. But I didn't know that that was a thing. But this is a cool. He's a good author, a good imagination guy.
Yeah.
He likes gods a lot, so it doesn't surprise me that this character is a god of like a extent.
Also, Netflix's Lucifer, which was originally the Fox show, Lucifer, that that is based on was a spinoff from the Sandman universe. So, like, some people are wondering if Lucifer is going to cross over at all with Sandman. This is Lucifer's last season coming up. So probably not, because they'd have to bring him back. And also that show's version of Lucifer is very different from the comic book version. So probably not, but it's still kind of cool.
That is kind of cool. That's something that I don't know how you would ever know that, but you did.
Well, I didn't. Oh. I didn't know any of this. DC Comics had an article up on their website about it.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right, moving on real quick. We have a Nintendo download this week. And there's some good stuff.
No.
Yeah.
Stop it, Eric.
There is.
All right.
You were saying this the other night that the Stranger Things.
I know. I'm just...
So there's the Stranger Things 3, the game. I guess that's worth playing if you like the show. I don't know. Soul Seraph. I think it looks kind of cool. Yeah. No, I mean, it looks neat. I don't know. I'm not really.
It's a beater up, right? A 2D beat up?
Oh, I thought it was like an adventure game.
So, oh, maybe it is. I don't know.
Yeah, adventure game with distinctively retro art style with modern gameplay mechanics.
Interesting.
There it is. ActRaiser 3. Soul Seraph. Actually, it's not ActRaiser 3. It's just Soul Seraph, but it's very much an ActRaiser game. It is here. So I'm going to have to pick that up. That releases on the 10th, I think. Or, yeah, 10th, which I think is Wednesday.
Yeah. Also, Eric, if you haven't played the original ActRaiser, it's very much worth playing.
I'm going to play it once I have it, like, once I have the capabilities to play it simply and legally.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not digging out my SNES. You know how it goes. Also this week, we have Ape Out got a demo. There's Arcade Archives of Clue Clue Land. We got Grass Cutter Mutated Lawns. That one sticks out to me.
How could it not?
Pure Mahjong and Terraria are the ones that... and What Remains of Edith Finch is good too.
That's true.
So, I picked up Terraria because I'm a sucker. But it's a good game, so you know, say what you will.
There's a it's not in this one, it's probably going to be in the next Nintendo download, but there's like a side-scrolling shooter too, that looks a little bit Contra-ish, that looked really cool. I saw it on the eShop when I was just poking around the other day, and I haven't picked it up, but it looks neat, so probably next week they're going to include that. But if you're listening to this, you can go check it out now.
What is that? Blazing Chrome?
No, I don't think it is. I can't remember the name, but I don't think it's Blazing Chrome. I think it's something else, but it's on there.
Huh.
It's got like the scan lines and all that stuff built in. It looks kind of neat.
I'm the only one I know about is Chrome, so I'll have to check.
Yeah, that looks good, though.
All right, moving on just a little bit, because apparently, well, not apparently, there's just not much going on in the eShop. Other than Soul Seraph, which I want to, because I think it's going to be like $10. PlayStation Plus games for July had a bit of a weird journey this month. So, when it was originally revealed, which games we were getting, it was Pro Evolution Soccer 2019, and I'm having trouble pulling up the article right now, so I'm going off memory. But, and some smaller racing.
Yeah, like a kind of a cartoony-looking racer, arcade racer.
Yeah.
I forget the name of it, but then PES got pulled at the last second for Detroit Become Human.
Which is good.
And, Yeah, it's good, but I have no idea why that happened.
Yeah, I don't know.
Seems odd.
No. There it is. But if you've been wanting to play Detroit, like me, there you go. That's it. All right. And then games with gold. And Rick, do you want to take this one?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so available now, you can get Inside from Devolver. 2D side-scrolling, Tale of Mystery and Suspense. Pretty good game. And then on the Xbox 360, you can get Castlevania Symphony of Night. Mm. Another great game. And then the middle of the month, you can get Big Crown Showdown. I have no idea what this is. Some kind of racer-friendly party game. I don't know. It's a friendly game. And then that's on the Xbox One. And then the other game is Meet the Robinsons. So some type of movie tie-in game. Family-friendly game. So two really great games and two not-so-great games.
What, you think that... What's its name? Say, Meet the Robinsons isn't a good game?
I'm going to go on a limb and say no.
Yeah.
Ooh, rude.
Yeah, I'm going to second that.
Can't blame me, though.
Castlevania is so good, though.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
You haven't played it?
But
you have to play it.
Yes.
So good. So, and so is Inside. And it's only like 10 hours, maybe. But it's such a good game.
And that I haven't played, so.
Oh, man, it's so good.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get these, claim them.
While they're claim playing. Them.
Oh, man, I can't wait to talk about some of this SDCC stuff. But until then, I guess we can go into some reviews, which I published one this week, which was kind of nice. Kind of fun. Let me pull up my review of The Sinking City for the PS4. Now, this game also released, I think, definitely on Xbox One, and it's coming out on Switch later. This is, for anybody who doesn't know what The Sinking City is, you know, following it, it's a Lovecraftian detective game. I think this is the studio who made the Sherlock Holmes game.
Yep.
So,
oh, cool.
A lot of the stuff from like the detective work from those games was back, like the Mind Palace and such. The way this game works is you are set up in an open world. It's really like a city. It's actually surprisingly open. You can pretty much go anywhere and do anything. Not that there's a whole lot to do unless you have a mission to complete, like in that area. But still, it's cool. It gives you the illusion that you can go wherever you want. So. What's going to happen is you start talking to some NPCs and you get a case, which is like your quest. And by your interactions with them, you kind of put together where you have to go and what you have to look for. You reconstruct scenes, you get more evidence, you go and you find more clues, you do research and archives and stuff. Like, you have to go to the city hall to find out where people live, you have to go to the hospital to find out about medical records. It's really cool in that stuff. In that, you know... my brain's broken, I'm sorry. It's really cool in that term. In that, what word am I looking for? You know, it's really cool in that way. I guess that is not what I want to say, but you know. It takes place in the fictional town of Oakmont, Massachusetts, which is actually an island off of the mainland. And it recently had been dealing with this flood, which locals refer to as this, like, otherworldly amount of water. And as a result, half of this is flooded, that you need to use actual boats to traverse, like you're in Venice, like a really gross, decaying Venice. Yeah, it's really cool. There were no points where I was confused about what I needed to do. It was all pretty clear based on evidence that I had, and I needed to do some thinking sometimes. Like, you find a bottle, and you're like, oh, well, who can probably tell me what was in this? So, you know, you have to think about where you can go in with that kind of stuff.
Now, Eric, I was just going to say, you said that the boat gameplay kind of got on your nerves after a while, though, right?
Just because there was one instance where I couldn't find one piece of evidence in an environment to reconstruct the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know if I was finished or not. So I kept going back and forth between two areas that were kind of far apart, and the only way to get there was the boat. Okay. So it was grating on me really quickly.
Okay.
Point. But I think if it wasn't for that, it would have been okay, because you didn't do it too often. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is some minor combat. Basically, whenever you enter a new building or something, you're going to have to come to fight these wild beasts, as they're called. W-Y-L-D.
Ooh, extreme.
Yeah. So, it was good. But they're really messed up creatures, very Lovecraftian. The longer your encounters go on with these, the more damage your sanity takes. Your sanity recovers basically like health, so it comes back after a fight ends. But the worse it gets, the worse the visions on your feet get. It's actually a really cool effect.
All right, that's cool.
Cool.
The gunplay was a little weak. It was better than some other Lovecraft games, but it was still a little bit weak. There were some frame drops here and there. The performance wasn't always the best.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you want a good detective game where you're doing a lot of talking, finding out what happened here, there's this really cool dynamic where Innsmouthers, who are refugees from Innsmouth, are in this city, and they're very distinctive because they have like the blood of the deep ones in them, so they look like fish people. It's so cool. Oh yeah, they're horrifying. I think there is one in the article. Yep. There sure is.
Ew.
So.
But now let me ask you a question, because I was thinking about this. Do other people in the town notice that these people look like freaky weird or no?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, right. Everybody knows. Because they refer to them, it's actually kind of a heavy-handed metaphor for race. I mean,
oh, interesting.
They kind of use it as like a heavy way to say that. And even as you boot the game up, it's kind, because this game takes place in like what, the 20s?
Mm-hmm.
So when you boot the game up, there's this disclaimer that's saying like, we know that racism is present in this game. We don't condone this, but this is how it would have been, especially at this point in time.
I get so you.
Accurately present it, which is the right way to go about it, I think.
Yeah, that's actually kind of neat.
But they're very racist. They call them fish face, etc. They call them very mean names.
Terrible.
So.
Wait, they have the blood of the old ones in them, so are they evil?
No, not the old ones. The deep ones. Which I had to do some research on this when I was playing this. The deep ones are a race of actual fish people who live in the ocean who worship Dagon.
Okay.
But they're like actual fish people who live underground. These are like hybrids who are human.
Okay, gotcha.
So.
That's really creepy.
It's very creepy, you're right. There are some genuinely creepy things in this game, too. I don't want to give it away, but there's one scene where basically your main quest giver, the guy you're working for a lot of the game, you go in, and there's like a funeral going on, and there's the cake of the deceased person. It's just like a cake. And like, it took me a minute. I was like, why is this guy's body? Oh, that's cake. It was very strange.
What?
Yeah, there's some creepy things in this game. Yeah, it's cool. I like it a lot, despite like some of the technical problems it has. The performances are all pretty good. The main character, Charles Reed, is pretty well voiced. He's compelling. You know, for one, the main character in like a Lovecraft game isn't an over alcoholic who like that's his biggest problem. Like, he has actual issues going on that aren't like drug related, which is nice, refreshing to see.
Yeah,
I feel like that's cool. A lazy trope when you're dealing with detectives. It's like, oh, Private Eye in the 20s, they're an alcoholic or drugs.
One more question for you between the two of them, because you reviewed both of these kind of big Cthulhu based games this year. Which one did you like better, this one or Call of Cthulhu?
I like this one better, and that's kind of tough to say because I liked that one a lot, but the gameplay was so bad in that one. The one thing that one had going for it is if you don't have a ton of time, that one's shorter. It's a little bit more linear. You can kind of like, it's broken up into levels, so you can go through it. This one's more of an actual RPG. You have to develop your skills. You know, there's a few different ones, like in terms of combat, area awareness, and stuff like that.
Cool.
So, I like it a lot. What did I end up giving it?
81.
81. Yeah, because of the presentation, it was marred by a few technical problems.
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot of stuff that comes from Frogwares is, which is too bad, because I think they have some great ideas.
Yeah, but that's another thing, too. If you like these detective stories enough and the gameplay, you're not going to mind these minor technical hiccups. I mean, I didn't know. I just had to know. The one other thing that I think is really cool is that when you are coming to conclusions in your mind palace with all of your clues and you're putting, you know, you're coming to conclusions, you can choose which conclusion to reach. So you'll have the whole case laid out and then you're gonna have a choice. You can say, well, this happened this way or it happened this way. And then, you know, those have real consequences. Like, you can choose to out somebody for murdering somebody if you think that they're lying about why they did it.
It's wow. Cool.
It's not. I like it a lot. Yeah, there it is.
Nice.
So, yay. Hey, Lovecraft. It's great. It's out now. It is $60. Which might be a little bit steep unless you're really into these kind of games. Which, I mean, from what I understand, it's a pretty lengthy game. So.
Okay. It looks cool.
Yeah. It's good. It's cool. All right. Jason, you reviewed something.
I did. Okay. Yes. Crash Team Racing. Nitro Fueled. Yes. A possible game of the year contender?
Shut up.
No maybe.
No way.
No, it's not that. But it is fun. It is a really fun kart racer. If you are into kart racers, like Super... yeah, Super. Like Mario Kart, Team Sonic Racing, that kind of thing. I have a hard time believing that you wouldn't be into this. Because it plays a lot of the same. The one thing about Crash Team Racing is it's more difficult overall. There's a story mode to it. It's not just kind of like circuits. Okay. And the story mode is I found it to be a lot more difficult. I played through it on normal, or started playing it on normal rather, and then I was just getting stuck because you have to finish first in every race. Yeah, and if you don't, you know, you're not advancing. So that was a tall order for parts of this game. So I had to lower it to easy so that I could actually get through the difficulty levels. Or the levels, I should say. But it's really cool. There's a lot of crash stuff in this game, obviously. You'll fight boss characters. You'll race against boss characters that are all boss characters from the Crash games.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, that was like really cool. I like that idea. I did not play the original, so I can't like tell you whether or not that's the same as in the original for PS1. So I don't know. But it was fun.
All that matters.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, there's versus modes online and off. It looks great. I think
what despite did you get the, it on
Xbox One.
Okay.
I think this might be the best looking kart racer that I've played in long time. I love Mario Kart 8, but this is like great looking. I love the whole aesthetic too, and there's all different. Obviously, with a kart racer, especially one based on a platform, you're going to have the snow level, desert level, all that, and this has that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and everything looks great. Looks super. All the tracks look really different. It's good looking stuff. There's hub worlds. where you'll race two, and then you from those you go into the, like, the different levels. Once you beat a race, it'll open up another race in that same level where you'll race for different things. There's a version of like Skate from the Tony Hawk games. it's CTR, so you have to collect the letters. As you race, yeah, and that actually is really difficult because it's so easy to drive right past them. It's so easy to drive right past them every time you go around the lap. It's very easy. Then you'll like race for artifacts. You can get different things. You can get customization options for your cart and for your rider, which are really cool. It's a great game. I had a lot of fun with it. I gave it an 85. That's probably honestly a little bit high. I probably didn't check the overall score when I was giving the rankings, because probably should be a little tad bit lower than that, maybe like an 82 or like Eric gave Sinking City an 81, that kind of a thing. It's still really fun, and I would definitely recommend it if you are a fan of kart racers.
Cool.
There you go. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Maybe you should have done your review first, because it looks like you're going to be doing a lot of talking.
Yeah, I am. That's okay. By the way, I meant to say I'm very disappointed that the Sinking City was actually good, because I really wanted to use my Stinking City subtitle to review, and I'm very upset that you couldn't use it. So
that's okay. I'm happy that it was good.
All right, so let's talk a little comic books. We got a few items here for the comic rack, and then we're going to talk SDCC, which is coming up next week. That's also a very exciting thing. Number one, we're going to talk Darkstalkers. We've got a Darkstalkers omnibus, we've got two Darkstalkers omnibuses coming from Udon. The first one collects the base Darkstalkers comic book series, which is called Rise of the Night Warriors. So that one collects that. And then there is Street Fighter versus Darkstalkers, which collects that miniseries, both of which originally came from Udon. So if you remember these books, these are just the collected editions. If you skipped them, this is your chance to read them. Honestly, look kind of cool. I might get the Street Fighter one. They are in hardcover format, and they're pretty big. These are 256 pages each. The price is also really big. They're $50 a piece. So, so they ain't cheap. But they'll be around this holiday. If you know any Darkstalkers mega fans, maybe.
So many.
Oh my God! Right.
Yes.
You know who there are a lot of fans of, though, and that's fans of Rakai.
That's, oh my God, right. I know.
Show no mercy.
I can't believe how big this is getting.
It has gotten quite large. So the second season is, I guess, around right now. I haven't watched it yet. I did watch the first season. It was pretty good. This is on YouTube Red. Did you guys watch it at all?
I have.
No.
Okay. Rick especially, you'd like it, but I think you would like it too, Eric. This, however, is a comic book series based on the show. It's going to be from IDW. Comes out this fall. It's called Cobra Kai: The Karate Kid Saga Continues. The thing about it, though, is it's based on the show in so much as the characters and the themes. So it focuses on Johnny, but it takes place during the original movie, and I guess the after effects of the movie and like what happened to him, you know, which people who watch the show will be able to tell you. But this is kind of like that fallout playing out. So you see basically the original Karate Kid movie from Johnny's point of view. So kind of neat idea, especially for something like this, because you couldn't do an adaptation of the show, that wouldn't really work. Yeah. So this is kind of cool. Comes out in October for those looking for it. It's a mini series, going to be 4 issues, and first issue is October. So Next up, we've got Doom Patrol, the DC Universe streaming series, which got some pretty good reviews, I think, is hitting home video. That is coming out this fall as well. It's going to be out on DVD and Blu-ray. I believe if this is... Yeah, it is. You're going to be able to get it in digital format before it's out in physical. It'll be out in August digitally, but then... DVD and Blu-ray after that, so if you want to add this one to your collection, go right ahead. I think Doom Patrol is coming back for a second season, but I'm not sure. So I'm not going to say. after that...
never go with DC Universe.
No, I've heard that Swamp Thing show is excellent. That's not going...
I know. So. I don't know if I want to get invested in it.
Right? Yeah. And then I heard maybe they're going to do a movie instead.
Really?
Yeah. Just it seems weird. It's a little odd. I wish DC would get its act together. They have such great properties. And just I don't know.
They just can't seem to figure out television.
No. The whole thing, and listen, I don't like a lot of the stuff that Marvel did with their TV and movies and it all being the same universe. I don't like some of the stuff that they did, but you know, and some of the choices I didn't like, but at least they made it all the same universe. I mean, it would have been so simple to have Grant Gustin's Flash.
Oh my God, right?
You know, I mean, and
he's so good.
Yeah.
And even Stephen Amell is a good Green Arrow.
Yep. Yep. And you have all that history baked into that in the, like the past. They could have just played off of all of that for the movies.
Yep.
I don't know. You just add Henry Cavill to that lineup and
That would have been dope.
Anyway.
Because they're already setting the stage for the I mean, they've already done multiverse stuff already.
Right.
So many times.
Right. And we've had a Superman on there and just would have been great. And instead we've got like seven or eight different DC universes now. It's like it's freaking ridiculous.
Batwoman's coming up. I mean, I think that'll be a good show, but again.
Now, let me ask you something, because you might know this. I don't know this. Is that a separate universe that the Arrowverse?
Yeah, I think it is another separate universe.
See? This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, but I could be wrong. But I think it might be... It's... I don't know, to be honest.
Why?
I don't know.
Damn it!
I'm trying to remember because, like, let's see. It was in, what was his face? It was the, is it the Monitor? Is that one bad guy? So it was during that when she came to be. I think actually it's either going to be in Supergirl's universe or at least, I think she's in one of the two at least.
All right.
But, yeah.
Because you got, like, Supergirl, if she's in a different universe, you got her, you got the universe, you got Gotham, you got. The DC Universe streaming service. You got Krypton. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. You got the movies.
Yeah. Yep.
Just have it all be the same thing and be so much better. Anyway. Next up is a story about Absolute Carnage. Absolute Carnage is one of Marvel's big event series for the year. They have, at last count, 326 big event series coming out this year. Might be a slight overestimation, but I don't think so. So, Web of, Absolute Carnage actually looks really good, though. It's from... I'm blanking on his name. Wow. Okay. Somehow I blanked on this guy's name. No. I mean the writer.
Oh.
I don't think it's written by Venom. Maybe. Not sure. It's actually written by the Venom writer. And I can't remember his name, and he's really good. Donny Cates.
There you go. Okay, that'll be good then.
Yep. So it's from Donny Cates. It is a big crossover event, but it might be one worth reading because it actually sounds really cool. Casts Carnage in the lead, sort of. He's the main villain. And his whole thing is he's going across the Marvel Universe, killing people who have played host to a symbiote. So, like, that's a lot of characters.
Yeah, especially after that one great storyline.
Wait, which one?
Wouldn't that be everybody? Wouldn't that be everybody? Yeah,
exactly, exactly. So he's like, he's taking something out of their spines or something like that, something left behind by the symbiotes. So it's interesting. I actually read the Immortal Hulk issue that came out this week, and slight spoiler alert, there's a quote, a after credits scene in the book. And it involves Carnage ripping General Ross out of his grave and taking the body. And General Ross, of course, was Red Hulk, and yeah. he got killed off recently. I forget what book that was. I did not read it. And but he actually had a symbiote once too. And so there's all kinds of like people are saying now, because Carnage, there's something with the story where Carnage might be controlling. People who used to have symbiotes too, so maybe he's going to control Red Hulk, like a zombie version of the Red Hulk, which would be interesting. Anyway, that's not what this is about. This is the beginning of Absolute Carnage. It's called Web of Venom, Funeral Pyre. It comes out in August, and it's going to like kind of set the stage. It has Carnage going after Andy Benton. Nobody knows that name, but she's the character who used to be Mania, who was a symbiote-powered lead villain. And so this is going to be Carnage going after her to take her out. And you're going to see the first parts of Absolute Carnage play out here. So if you're interested in Absolute Carnage, this might be one to pick up. And again, that comes out next month. Okay, so... now that the comic rack is in the bag, we've got San Diego Comic-Con to talk about. There's been a lot more news than usual coming out way ahead of San Diego Comic-Con. This comes out like, right? Like usually I would expect most of this to come out this week.
Yeah.
But it came out last week. So we've got a ton of interesting stuff to talk about. Some of it, Jim Starlin, who created Thanos, will be appearing at a Thanos-centric panel, focusing on the past year and calling it the biggest year ever for Thanos, which I don't think anybody could really argue that. It certainly was a big one. Two movies and got the video game coming up for the Switch, which plays off the Black Order and Infinity Gauntlet. And it's been a big year for the man. So if you're interested, maybe stay tuned online. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of stuff coming out from that panel. And if you're at the con, look it up, check it out. It's going to be a Thanos fan's dream. There you have it.
Thanos sucks.
Oh!
He's boring. He's okay. Boring. I don't like him. I think he's a stupid villain.
What? Now, are you just going off the movies for this?
Oh, of course. I never read the con. I don't know.
All right. He's better in the comic.
I mean, I'm sure he is. And
he's a lot more interesting.
Admitting, but I've never read a single comic book with Thanos in it. Okay. But based on the movie, he's just, like, marginally smarter than the Hulk, just as strong, and, like, bent on one thing. It's not even, like, he's not redeemable. He's
oh, bad. No.
Yeah. No, he's not redeemable at all, man.
No. Not in the least.
I get that heroes aren't supposed to be redeemable specifically, but like they had that whole sob scene in Infinity War when he was thinking about like when after he sacrificed Gamera, whatever her name is. And it's like, well, like, do you feel bad about this? Like, I hope you feel bad about this. Like, what is your issue here?
I don't think he felt that bad about it.
Yeah, he didn't feel that bad, buddy.
They certainly made it look like he felt bad about it. Which,
maybe a little bit.
I mean, I feel like I feel like there's a kick that like every villain is supposed to like, in order to be well written, you know, you're supposed to be able to sympathize with villains, but like, you know.
Yeah, but no, there's some villains you definitely can't.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah, Thanos is on that level. But in the comics, he is like I actually didn't see Endgame. I will at some point.
You still haven't yet?
No. I did see Infinity War, which I liked. But
I think you'll like it. You'll like it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure I will. But if I could make a recommendation, Aaron, I really would recommend you pick up the graphic novel of the Infinity Gauntlet, the classic one.
Yeah.
It is excellent, and it's Thanos as the villain, as the best villain, and he's just fantastic. So I would recommend that.
All right. I mean, I believe that he's much better.
There's also a bunch, while we're talking about Jim Starlin, there's a bunch of Starlin stuff. Thanos Quest and a bunch of other stuff that he's written with Thanos, different graphic novels, which I also would recommend because he's good with that. It's good stuff. I think you'd like it.
I hope he's better in Ultimate Alliance 3.
I don't have a lot of hope for that. As far as Thanos goes, I think he's going to basically be Thanos from the movies.
Dang.
That would be my guess. Because the Black Order, too, is... The Black Order is not a classic.
I don't know. I think they might have a little bit more leeway with what they can do for the video game, because you got to put a lot more content in the video game, you know?
It's true, but I'm just thinking we're not going to see him that much.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
Probably I'm thinking be the end boss.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking like the Black Order is going to be in like, the whole game, and see Thanos yeah. like here and there, little tiny yeah. bits and pieces.
Probably
he'll be yeah. the last guy,
right?
And he'll be the giant. There'll be a giant version of Thanos,
yeah,
and then there'll be the super powered version of Thanos.
Exactly,
it's and that's not even cool his final see... form. It's going to be neat to see characters who never like who aren't in the MCU interact with like other characters who we know from the MCU, even though it's not the same thing.
Who aren't cool. in the MCU yet.
Yeah, because you see the MCU characters interacting all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You constantly see these characters interacting. How often do you see Venom and Iron Man interact? You don't. That'd be great. I mean, in the comics you do.
Yeah. Well,
but not in the movies, which is where most people are coming from.
I know you're looking forward to playing Iron Man, Cam.
No.
When we play together, you can only be Iron Man.
Yes.
Or we'll just quit the game.
Yeah. And not like a you know, Iron Man suited gut character. No, just Iron Man.
Yeah, yeah. And you have to talk like Iron Man the whole time too.
And I like War Machine. I'll be War Machine.
Nope. Nope.
Can't do that.
Nope.
Suck.
Iron Man.
Iron Man and only Iron Man.
You are now Brutal Gamer's Iron Man. There you go.
You're the master of Iron Man.
Iron Man's the number one fan?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Wow, what a fan club. If you're his number one
fan. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Speaking of Marvel, Marvel has a slate of panels, because of course they do. For San Diego Comic-Con that they have announced. We have the full listing up for that. I'm not going to do that, but they have a ton of stuff. It's mainly focused on TV and movies. So, although there are some comic book things too. There's Marvel's 80th anniversary. Yeah, stuff like that. Marvel's booth, by the way, I drop little jokes on BG from time to time about this. Marvel's booth is like the worst booth at Comic-Con. It stinks. It is a big open space with nothing. And right. there's a stage, and it's the same at every single New York and San Diego. There's a stage. There's a big stage where they do stage shows, and they have people come up and talk. They do like little panels there. The panels that they've announced are in private rooms. That's not that. But there's stuff that they do at the booths where they'll have like creators come up, and sometimes they'll do like cosplay contests and stuff like that. And so I know what the idea is. The idea is that they have a big open space in front of that so that you can amass as many people as humanly possible in your booth. So that mm-hmm. when you have the stage presentation, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But if you're walking by and there's nothing going on at the time that you're walking by, it just looks like a massively monstrous waste of space. There's just nothing. And then there'll be like a small little shop off to the side selling stuff really nobody's interested in. So it's just, I don't know. It's a waste of food, I think. Anyway, there's plenty to see if you're a Marvel fan. Just not really in the. Next up, we're talking Toynami. If you're not familiar with Toynami, they are the license holder of Robotech. You may know it as Macross. They produce some pretty cool stuff. It's honestly, I like the real classic Robotech stuff from the 80s better, which was like the Veritech fighter when you put the 3¾-inch action figures inside. They had a really these days, that kind of stuff, you have to go to all different companies if you want to amass a Robotech collection. So if you're just looking at just the Veritechs, Toynami does a great job with them. They have a transforming one. They have an armored one. Cool stuff. This will be at Comic-Con. They'll have special editions of this for you to take home. All of them will be very limited in scale. 300 pieces for one, 1,000 pieces for another, which is really not that much when you... Acid Rain is a line of military figures. They have two scales, 1/18 and 1/24. They will have exclusives on hand from 1/28. I'm sorry. They will have exclusives on hand from both of those. Acid Rain is kind of pricey for what they are. So like two small 1/18 scale figures, which is the inch. Bucks, this does have a pretty big fan following for a niche product, so I'm sure they'll sell out. 1,000 units on some of those, 500 units on others. So these are limited. If you want these, get yourself to the Toynami booth quickly after the con opens. Try to grab them. DC Comics next up. DC has a pretty big con. Planned as well. I actually thought they were not going to have one, and it's funny because they mentioned this in the press release. I did not think they were going to even be there, but they will be. They're going to be joining forces with Warner Brothers, so they will have the biggest booth on the show. It will combine Warner Brothers and DC, which is definitely different because they used to be two separate booths. But they will be there. In force, they will have all kinds of crazy stuff in the booth. The DC booth is actually really interesting. They usually have a lot of movie props and stuff like that, and they showcase DC collectibles, figures, the new stuff, statues, things like that. So they'll have a lot of that stuff on hand. There will be panels, all kinds of stuff. There's going to be more on that released, I guess, this week. In a total, there's going to be 47 different panel presentations. Looking at animation, TV, home entertainment, toys, and of course comic books. So that will be in the DC booth. Lots of stuff to see there. One of the coolest things, though, I got to say, this was really freaking cool. I was surprised when we got this email because we are not on Mondo's press list. Well, I guess we are now. But there is a limited edition Roger Rabbit and Blade Runner vinyl. Which is going to be available exclusively at Comic-Con. They will have versions of this up on their website for sale after the con, including any merchandise that's left over. So these actual pieces will be there if there's any left. I don't think there's going to be any left because these are some really, really cool looking records. Like the Roger Rabbit one is Deep Green. And it includes like, let's see. It includes like some really cool proppy kind of a thing. Looks like a scroll. And it's got, I mean, the case has like really cool artwork. The sleeve, I should say. There's an equally cool looking one, Blade Runner 2049, which is really, really neat. And then there's a set of Roger Rabbit pins. Those are actually going to be exclusive to the website after Comic-Con. So if you're interested in those, you want to pick it up, check out the website. But these are really neat. Definitely check those out if you're going to be on the show floor, because it just seems like something that's going to be kind of rare to get a hold of and really cool. Ah, as I get a message. Oh, there's Rick retweeting. Okay.
Yeah.
Next up, we'll take a look at CBS. CBS is going to have a Star Trek experience at the con. I think this might be the first time that Star Trek has really put on a huge display He might be.
Yeah, it's pretty insane.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a lot of stuff. Panels, oh, they've got meet and greets at the booth. Yeah, there's exclusive stuff. I mean, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it with Picard.
Yeah.
It's great to see as a Star Trek fan. I think that's awesome. There will be a transporter experience at the Star Trek Universe booth on the show floor. So I guess they're going to, you know, kind of transport, beam you out, that kind of a thing. And you get a special visitor's badge, a Starfleet headquarters visitor's badge. Then if you go and complete the Star Trek experience, so that's kind of cool. Lots of panels, again. So definitely check out the posts on the website if you are interested. Tons of Hall H stuff. Again, I'm just really excited to see this, because Star Trek had been in a coma for so long. Now it's kind of like merging again. And even if I'm not crazy about that, I've Discovery had in it, and mainly, but it's great to see. So. As someone falls down and kills themselves. What was that?
I fell down the stairs.
Oh, no. My God.
You all right?
I'm okay.
Are you serious?
No, I'm just kidding. I didn't actually fall. Oh.
Okay. So moving on from Star Trek. Maybe that was a clue. Okay, move. This is boring. Okay. So next up, we've got Spawn. The Spawn merchandise line is back. There's no action figures, but there are some really cool t-shirts, some neat little vinyls, and assorted other stuff. It's going to be at the Image Comic booth. So if you're going to be there, definitely check that out, because it's great to see Spawn merchandise again, just like it's great to see Star Trek back in the headlines. So the 90s are back. Netflix. Netflix has revealed their lineup. And it will basically include The Witcher and Dark Crystal. So there's going to be panels for both of those in Hall H. And I believe they're going to have something out in the city. It's not listed here, but there's definitely, they usually do something. So like when you walk around the city, you'll usually see big displays that you can kind of walk through. I thought they were doing one of those, but I don't see it here, and I definitely would include that in the story about it. So maybe not. Could just be the Hall H panels. Either way, if you're looking for Netflix Witcher news or Dark Crystal news, this is going to be the place to go. They are on Friday the 19th, and one kind of leads almost right into the other. So if you're into it, go check those out. I'm sure it will take up your entire day. Okay, also, we've got Godzilla 1954, which is an action figure. It's going to be an exclusive to Comic-Con. It's got some really neat vintage packaging, really cool-looking stuff. This is going to be... I'm just looking up the booth right now. Because I didn't... The story, right? 1954. Here it is. This is at the Toho Bandai booth. Okay, so you're going to be able to find it there. Again, packaging is really neat. It's called Godzilla Legends 2019 exclusive, convention exclusive. It is the 65th anniversary 1954 Godzilla Deluxe vinyl figure. It's going to cost you $30, which is not bad for something like this, for an exclusive like this. It is 6.5 inches tall, and it's cast in translucent flake vinyl, which is probably going to look pretty great.
This thing looks awesome.
Yeah, right?
I wish I could get it.
I wish I could get it for you.
Aw.
Sorry, buddy.
It's okay.
So anyway, also kind of interesting is Toho Bandai are joining forces, so they will join, which is kind of neat. And yeah, so, I mean, that looks cool. Okay. All right. Next up. So, Marvel Comics number 1000 is coming. And for anyone who knows Marvel Comics, They also know that there's going to be 10 billion variant covers for my number one.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of shocked at the restraint they've shown. Because we got like a ton of them in an email, and then I was expecting a ton more the next day. There weren't. But I have seen a bunch lurking around online. So if you just Google variant covers for Marvel Comics 1000, of course, I would recommend you check out our post first to look at a big bulk drop of them. But then if you go online, there's like a Darth Vader cover. There's a Conan cover. There's like, I mean, they're really going crazy with the covers, of course. And again, I feel like I need to point out that Marvel Comics number 1000, not 1000 of anything. It's just Comics number one, and it's to celebrate their 80th anniversary, which that it definitely is, and that is a cool thing. The last thing on here, actually, you know what, I'm just going to mention today to probably ring next week, but pretty awesome is a Batman versus Ninja Turtles series of action films. Which will be exclusively at GameStop this fall. And the pre-order actually just went up for this. You can buy them all individually, or you can, not individually, but in two packs. Or you can get an all-in set. For, I think it's $249. But there are five different packs, and each one includes two figures. You get a Batman character, and you get a Ninja Turtles character. They all look great. They're based off of the animated movie, which I've heard nothing but good things about. And I actually saw a scene at the other day with Shredder versus Batman that was fantastic, and now I absolutely have to see this movie. But just wanted to get that in there. And then we've got, the last thing we've got is DST and Gentle Giant. The list of exclusives is out for what they'll be offering at the con, and there's some great Ghostbusters stuff. If you're a Ghostbusters fan, there's real Ghostbusters stuff. There's movie stuff, really neat special edition packs that are going to be exclusive to Comic-Con. Stuff that would look good on the shelf, whether you open it or not. There's also a set of, well, not a set, they're all sold separately, but Vinnie Mates, which are the larger vinyl, non-posable Mini Mates. There's going to be a John Wick one, Invader Zim, Iron Giant. There's a it's Swedish Chef exclusive. Action figure. Dorchy, Dorchy, Bork, Bork. So he's going to be there. There's a starship, Enterprise C, from Star Trek that is cast in plastic, which is going to be an exclusive. There's a minibus, a concept stormtrooper, concept art stormtrooper, which looks really neat. There is a Harley Quinn statue, mini statue that looks cool. A bunch of other ones, Captain Flash, the gallery stuff, which is pretty good value for what you get. So that's all going to be there too. And I think that actually wraps things up for the Comic-Con coverage this week. We'll, of course, have a pile more Comic-Con coverage this week as stuff is still coming into the old BG newsroom. So we will get lots of stuff up. And if you're going, have a wonderful. But that does it for the comic rack and the SD which for this week.
Thank you, Jason. I know your throat's probably sore from talking.
I'm good, actually. I had a couple of beers at dinner, and I'm great.
Perfect.
What kind of beer did you have?
Sam 76, which I hadn't had before. It was good.
Cool.
I like that.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so flashback to May, game of the month for May. Yeah, we're running a little behind.
Yeah, but
we got Rage 2 was the winner.
Yes,
Jason, you played this, right?
I played it. I reviewed it.
Yes.
Yeah,
I dug it. I think I would have dug it more if it wasn't an open world game, but they did a decent job with it, and the driving was really cool. It didn't like completely kill it, which I was afraid it was going to do. Everything is pretty fun with this game, and it's got that id gunplay. If you like id and you like id style action. I think you'll like it.
Well, I do. So I'm going to have to do that.
What about the runner-up?
Gato Roboto?
Yes.
This is a cat Metroidvania. That actually looks kind of cool. I'm going to have to get it. I like Metroidvanias, I like robots, and I like cats.
And it's like made to look it's made to look like a stereotypical Game Boy game, in that they did it black and white instead of pea green.
Yeah.
It's not really a Game Boy game. It's just a stereotypical.
Right. So, there you go. Rick, did you play this?
Nah, I didn't.
I am shocked by that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'll get it at some point.
That cat's body armor looks a lot like Samus's Varia suit, too.
I know exactly.
But it's just a small cat.
Leave that cat alone. Yeah. That cat. And what came out this month? I don't actually know where this post is.
So we got Red Faction Guerrilla Remastered. Sound like the chef. That's on Switch. And then, as we were talking, Stranger Things 3 came out on the 4th. And then on the 11th, Greedfall on the Xbox One is going to be dropping. And then on the 12th, we've got Dragon Quest Builders 2, which is on the PS4 and Switch. And then we got God Eater 3, which will be on the Switch. And then on the 7/16, we have Harvest Moon, Light of Hope, Complete, PS4, Switch. And then on 7/19, we have Marvel Ultimate Alliance, which is a Switch exclusive. And then City Skylines also makes it to the Switch on the same day. And then on 7/23, we have James Pond, codename RoboCod, which is coming to the Switch, as well as Impossible Mission. And then on 7/26, we have Wolfenstein Youngblood, which will come to all major consoles and PC. And then we have Wolfenstein Cyberpilot, PSVR.
Ooh.
Fire Emblem Three Houses on the Switch. And then we have Kill La Kill, PS4 Switch. And then we have Madden 20 on the Xbox One and PS4. So on 7/30, and then as well as Mutant Year Zero, Road to Eden on PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Didn't that already come out on Xbox One?
That did. I was going to say, I played that when it came out on Xbox One. It's very fun.
Yeah, I think this is a special edition.
Okay.
And the Madden one is the early
Superstar
version.
Superstar edition.
Yeah, I'm blown away that that's coming out in July.
Very early.
Yeah. And then Horizon Chase Turbo.
That's the one. That's the PS Plus freebie.
Mm. So a lot of good stuff that's coming out.
Excellent. I'm down for Marvel. That looks so good.
Heck yeah.
It really does.
We'll be playing the bejesus out of that.
Yes.
Are you going to buy Wolfenstein? I know you're a huge Wolfenstein fan.
I am. I want to get it, but I didn't play the second one yet.
No.
I played only about half of it. I'll probably get it and then just hang on to it. I don't. I am thinking I'm going to be skipping Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Are you going to get it on the Switch?
I might, because I did like that.
Yeah, so you can carry it around with you.
Yeah.
Play it on the go.
Yeah. I did think that was really cool. I actually played it on the last year when I was in San Diego. If I'm remembering correctly.
This looks like a pretty good game, but like you, I didn't play the second one.
The first one is great.
The second one's on Games Pass.
Yeah, I know. I keep meaning to like restart. I'll finish it on Switch.
Come the 19th, I'm only going to be playing one game. So.
Yeah, it's true.
Fair. Anyway.
So what are you guys playing right now?
Here we go.
Well, I'm playing Bloodstained.
Oh, you are?
Oh, really?
I am.
Picking that back up?
Yep. Nice. I picked it up on the Xbox.
Okay.
and it's good. It's good. It's it is very Castlevania-ish. And I did find that, like, I was I played like the first boss. I think you have to do before you really dig into the boss fights. Give yourself the best chance. Because I was having trouble with the first boss. I just started it and having a little trouble with the first boss.
Is that the one where you switch characters in and out?
No. This one you're... there are lots of hidden characters. But you start... Oh, man, I forget her name.
Eric, what's that game that we got for Xbox Games with Gold where you could switch the characters on the fly? It was like old school Castlevania.
I don't know.
Was it Bloodstained Curse of the Moon? Whatever it is. Okay.
Yeah, no.
No?
I don't think so.
Because that was the one that looked like the 8-bit game.
Yeah. So I never played that on Xbox. I played that on...
I thought you had played it.
I played it. I don't know.
Yeah, well, anyway.
So, playing that. And the Super Mario Maker 2.
Noise.
I'm playing Super Mario Maker 2. I'm playing Terraria. Going back whenever I'm with some friends online and playing some Apex. Playing some Dead by Daylight. It's a good game.
Man.
Those aren't regular, though. My two big ones I'm playing Terraria on Switch.
Okay.
So, that's it. How about you, Rick?
I'm playing No Man's Sky still. And I started up the new game plus mode for Batman Arkham Knight.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very good.
I'm only 15 Riddler trophies away from getting the good ending. So I know exactly.
You know, I heard they're remaking all, re-releasing all Xbox One.
Yeah. Yeah, with the Steelbook.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So I guess that's it, guys. It's time for me to hit the bed. To go to the sleep. But
go to the sleep.
Go to the sleep. That's it. That's how I speak. But it was a good connection getting back into it. We might skip next week, but maybe we'll record one night next week or something.
Yeah. Very quickly before we go, too, if I could just throw out there, if you made it this far in the podcast, you might as well do a small commercial. So I've launched an Indiegogo campaign for a book with a friend of mine who's a concept artist. It's called Eternal. If you feel like going to check it out, it's big action science fiction stuff, classically styled. Go check it out on Indiegogo right now. The pre-launch page is live.
Cool. Yeah, this looks really cool. Everybody should go check this out. And
watch the trailer. He did a great job with it.
He did. Yeah, I liked it.
This looks awesome. So keep an eye out for when this launches, too.
Yeah, September.
Very excited for this. Cool. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you maybe next week.
Yay.
Maybe not.
Yay.
Maybe J.